Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast.
Today, guys, we're talking about a question from Michelle. So Michelle said, with regards to 1 Corinthians 6:18, where it talks about sexual sin is against their own bodies. And her question says, could you explain a little more in depth what it means in comparison to where it talks about every other sin outside their bodies? So fairly kind of popular passage about sexual sin is in 1 Corinthians 6. Typically, people start reading in verse 12 down to 20 when they're talking about this. And the context here, as far as what's going on in Corinth, the city that Paul is writing to, so specifically in this passage, some of the guys in Corinth, or people in Corinth, I think guys though probably, I don't really know on that front actually, but I'm assuming it's guys from the culture back then, but guys are going to prostitutes, these Christian guys are going to prostitution, which was really crazy in ancient world. We're not going to get into too much of it. I don't think you need to know it for today's topic, but and people were saying this idea of like, oh, Christianity is so spiritual. It's about what I do with my spirit. It's not important what I do with my body. And so the fact that I'm going to these prostitutes doesn't matter because that's just something to do with my physical body. What really matters is what I do with my spirit and my soul. That's what Jesus cares about. And Paul's going to refute that. Verses 12 through 20 is where we're going to read. I think this passage, or that's what Michelle's talking about, is verse 18. So starting verse 20, Paul says, I have the right to do anything you say. Then Paul says, but not everything is beneficial. And then he quotes them again, I have a right to do anything. And then he says, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. Let me pause us right there. So apparently the people in Corinth were saying, I've got a right to do anything, I'm free. And then this idea of food for the stomach and stomach for food, this idea of I have natural desires and there's things out there that satisfy those desires, and they're both gonna, you know, my body's just gonna end up as dust anyways, so it doesn't matter what food I eat, it doesn't matter what I do sexually, even is what they're getting at, this idea of like none of this physical matter is gonna last. So again, this is not a Christian view. Paul is about to refute it, because our bodies really do matter, okay? But this is where he's coming from. That's the context of the problem. So then in the second half of verse 13, this is what Paul says. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. So to pause there for a second, he says body's not meant for sexual immorality. It's meant for God. Our body matters. And sexual morality, as it's used here, used by Paul quite a bit, and throughout the Bible, it's talking about basically sex outside of marriage is what it's getting at. It can be used really broadly here. Specifically, he's talking about, you know, the specific issue at hand is sex with a prostitute, but I do not think it's a stretch of this verse to say that Paul is against anything outside of sex within marriage. If you read chapter 7, real clear, he talks about sex should happen within, you know, within a marriage, and that's where it should take place. If we're gonna have sex at all, it should be within a marriage, and then it can be a blessing. He talks about then in verse 15, he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So let me pause this there. So Paul says our body's meant for God. This is, again, a very Christian view. It lifts up our physical body is important. Jesus came with a physical body, and when God raised him from the dead, he raised his body as well. So Christianity is not just a spiritual thing. Our body and our spirit both matter to God. And he talks about this idea of one flesh, this idea of what is the connection that we have that's sexual. What does that do? Well, Genesis, which he quotes from here in verse 16, he quotes Genesis about the two will become one flesh. And so that's from the very end of Genesis chapter 2. You can take a look at that when God creates Adam and Eve. You know, he's blessing them and saying, this is a special relationship. This is a closer relationship than other family bonds. And obviously within a marriage, there should be a physical intimacy, a spiritual intimacy, and an emotional intimacy. So all those things should come together, but the physical side of things, sex is the part of all of those intimacies, and there's a physical act of becoming one, but it also is a spiritual act. And so that's what this passage is basing a lot of itself on, is that sex is more than just a physical act, and it has implications. It's bigger than just in that moment. Obviously, there's implications where you could have kids, and kids are not even just the thought of, oh man, who's going to change the diapers, but when a kid is created by God, I mean, we have a part to play in that by having sex. And so there's this a lot of spiritual stuff going on within sex. And so it's not just that that's how God's chosen to create humans, and that he's made us have a piece of that, but there's also a lot going on of the connection between you and that person. It's a very powerful connecting force. So we're supposed to connect ourselves with Jesus. We're supposed to we're allowed to connect ourselves, obviously, to our spouse. But the problem comes when you say, I'm going to get super close to Jesus, and I'm also going to get this incredibly powerful connection that's very, very deep with a prostitute, or with someone that's not headed in the same way as me at all, you know? And so that's not good. I mean, it should go without saying, but that's what Paul's getting at here, is like, man, think about this. Like, you're supposed to be united with Jesus, and you know that sex unites you with someone when you have sex. So obviously you shouldn't just use that flippantly, and you shouldn't go unite yourself with someone who's not headed in the same direction you are. So then he's going to spell, so that's kind of the theological argument that Paul gives us in verse 12 through 17, this idea of like sex matters, your body matters. Don't just act like these things don't matter. Don't make excuses. But he's going to spell it out really clearly for us in verse 18, which is what Michelle is saying. He says, flee from sexual immorality. So boom, there's, if you don't like the theology complicatedness, here it is just flat out. Like, flee, get away, run from sex outside of marriage. And then why should we do that? Well, he says, second half of verse 18, all other sin a person commits out or outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. So we'll break that down. That's the heart of Michelle's question. We'll break that down here in a minute, but kind of finish out the passage. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So kind of the key theology of this passage is the idea that, like, Jesus paid for us, and that when we became Christians, the Holy Spirit came into us. So we need to be careful about how we treat our bodies. And some people take this temple of the Holy Spirit and they spend 17 hours a day working out, and they, you know, spend tons of money on, you know, health supplements and food and stuff like that. And you can go too extreme to where you make your own body an idol, you know, and you're not helping the people, you know, you're spending way too much effort and energy on your body. But this passage specifically is definitely talking about the way, what you do with your body sexually matters to God. And it matters that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You should treat your body with respect. And you should not have a bunch of sexual partners. You should commit to someone and marry them and commit to someone as a partner on this journey with Jesus, or abstain from sex. Like, that, those are your options. And that becomes more clear in chapter 7, if you want to read chapter 7. It's an interesting chapter about marriage and how marriage is very much an option, that marriage isn't necessarily the best road, that choosing to stay single and celibate is a very effective and very fulfilling role to go on your journey with Christ. So he lifts that up. So anyways, we're not talking about chapter 7 right now, though. I do want to zero in on this. What is this idea of all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body? So honestly, Michelle, I don't have a full answer to this. I've thought about it. I have my own opinions. I've just recently this morning read some commentaries getting ready for the podcast. I read a commentary about it. Here, obviously, there's some obvious examples of how sex can physically cause problems. You know, there's STDs and things like that. So you can hurt yourself. But there's other sins that you can hurt yourself with. I mean, you can do drugs and cause physical damage to your body. So I don't know that it's necessarily talking about just that, of like a disease or something that you could contract. I do think the thing that this passage talks about, based all the way back in Genesis, is this idea that like sex is part of the marriage ceremony, or you know, sex is part of what God designed for marriage. And when we use that flippantly, then we're messing with a really powerful force. And it's a powerful force at the root of us about our identity or who we are and who we're united with. And so when you use it flippantly, it's going to hurt you at a way that other sins don't hurt you. I believe all sin has an effect on us. It hurts us, and a lot of times it hurts other people. In Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5, it might be chapter 6, it talks about we reap what we sow. And if you sow to please a sinful nature, you're going to reap destruction. So, I mean, whatever way you sin, it typically hurts you to sin, okay? And it hurts other people a lot of times too, but you don't come out unscathed when you lie or when you hate someone or when you are bitter or don't forgive or when you beat someone up or something like that. You don't come out unscathed from those sorts of sin. But here specifically, Paul says sexual sin is going to affect you differently than other sins. And I think you can look into your own life and see how sin affects you. And certain sins affect each of us maybe on a different level, a different way. But know this about sexual sin. Like, it is going to have an impact on you that other sins don't. It's going to leave a scar on you or a mark that other sins don't. But with that in mind, I don't want you to have this idea that, oh man, I'm somehow damaged, or I can never be a full person or a full Christian or a full spouse to someone because of sexual morality, okay? So here's the thing. It's a gift to yourself. Whenever you obey God, it's a gift to yourself. Like, if you go through life and you live your life God's way, you're setting yourself up for a full life. So it's always good to obey God. But the awesome thing about Christianity is, even though we have to go through hardships when we sin, we hurt ourselves sometimes, is that God is always willing to accept us. And God is always willing to work with us. And He is a master at bringing beautiful things out of ugliness. Okay, so the context of this passage, right before it, he's talking about these crazy lawsuits they had in Corinth and how they're being really greedy and selfish by suing each other. But then there's a few verses in there that normally get lumped in with that first part about lawsuits if you have a Bible that divides kind of categories. And then normally verse 12, oh, that's the stuff about sex. But verse 9, the second half of verse 9 and all through verse 11, I think is important for our topic today. So if you look back, if you're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 right now, take a look at verse 9. Back it up just a little bit. Second half of verse 9 says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So whatever happened in your past, I do want to throw this out to you that no matter what sin is in your past, Jesus came, and when you accept Jesus, even if you've accepted him and made a mistake, then afterwards, if you accept him and you're today saying, "Jesus, please wash me, please sanctify me, please justify me, not because I'm good, but because of who you are, Jesus, I need you. I can't be clean on my own. I can't be set apart on my own. I can't be worthy on my own to be in your presence. But because of what you did, Jesus, I can be clean. I can be set apart for good works. I can be worthy to be in a connection or a relationship with God because of what Jesus did." And so whatever sin is in your past, whatever marks it's left, know that nothing is hopeless with Jesus and that everything can be cleaned and sanctified and justified by Jesus. So hopefully that is helpful, this question. I know I didn't get right into the nitty-gritty of, I don't know how to break it down tighter than I did already. But it's clear that sexual morality, it affects you differently. I also want to throw out though that, like, nowhere in the Bible is sexual morality thrown up as the most important or the worst sin. you know, it's in lists. It's just like that list in verse 9. It's in lists of sins, but it's never lifted up as like, oh, if you do this, you're worse or you're unacceptable compared to lying or stealing or being hateful. Okay, so there are things like if you don't forgive, Jesus is very clear, I won't forgive you. Okay, and I do think there's things that push us further away from God. I don't know quite how to describe that. I don't know. I'm kind of getting off the reservation here. I do think, I just want to throw out, I don't think sexual sin needs to be pointed out as like, oh, this is the one thing and you need to avoid this. And as long as you avoid this, everything else is okay. Definitely not the point. It's just this passage of scripture was dealing with people saying, I'm going to do things spiritually cool, but I'm not going to obey God with my body. And to know that like, that's not right. Like we're supposed to obey God with our spirit and with our body, with what we feel, what we think, what we say, and also what we do. So hopefully that's helpful on your question. And if you've got more questions, feel free to send them my way.